It's time. It's past time, actually. My fault. I was busy talking. But if you haven't noticed, I can talk. And everybody should have a note sheet. If you don't, Bob, you still have some in the back there, right? But make sure you have a note sheet, and we'll work our way through that, Lord willing, this morning. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we are thankful once again for this special day that we can gather and worship and serve and seek to glorify our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray your blessing now and teaching during this time. We realize that without your help, we are incapable of anything. And so we pray that you would not only instruct, but encourage and strengthen us as we consider this matter of serving in the church body. Well, thank you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to, just to give you a little brief resume of what we're going to be doing in this class. We're going to start out by building on what Pastor Smith has been doing as far as equipping the church. That's kind of going to be our theme. In fact, our theme verses are there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13. It talks about the equipping unto ministering unto the building up. Those three key words in that passage. That's what we're going to be talking about as we spend our weeks together. We hope to, I'm planning to get to a very, what I think is a very practical section of that. Not that all of it isn't practical, but how to apply it, particularly to a local church body. And so that'll come a little bit later. This first part on your note sheet is just a general observation. Nothing new to you, but something that I need to remind myself of often, and that is that simple knowledge of what the Scriptures teach doesn't really benefit us very much. It's in the application, in the obedience to and doing what the Scripture says. You probably recognize those passages there at the top. Matthew chapter 7 is the story of the wise man and the foolish man. And the one difference in those two was what? Only one difference between those two accounts. One man what? He did what he heard. And the other man didn't do it. He heard it, but he didn't do anything. And one life survives and one life crashes. Obviously, it was a house, but that's obviously speaking of the life, the whole being there. The Joshua 1:8, you know that verse most likely, but I would remind you that the Lord says to Joshua, you're going to meditate in order to what? Do what the Scripture says. Sometimes we kind of pass over that part of it. We think, well, if we meditate on Scripture, we're going to have a prosperous life. Well, we're going to meditate in order to do and obey what Scripture says. Ezra 7:10 is one of my favorite verses. Again, I remind myself of this often because here is a man who was charged with, you know, the teaching and instruction there in Israel as they returned to the land after captivity. And we're told in Ezra 7:10, Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it. That's a very key phrase, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. So I'm struck by that every time I stand to teach or preach. Have I studied just to impart information? Or have I studied to do it myself, first of all? So that's a very convicting verse. And then, of course, John 7:17, where Jesus says, if any man is willing to do his will, he will know of the doctrine, whether he's teaching the truth, whether it's of God or not. So just some general reminders. This quote from Andrew Murray, anybody read The Inner Chamber? Does that ring a bell? Anybody familiar with that book? Tremendous little book by Andrew Murray. I don't even know it's in print anymore. It's an old book. But I want to read this, and I want you to be thinking as we read through this, what have I taken from the last, what's it been, 8-9 weeks of Pastor Smith's teaching? What have I begun to practice or do that I wasn't doing before when it comes to my interaction and ministry in the body? Have I begun to practice what I've learned? Andrew Murray says, if your aim be simply to know the Bible well, you'll be disappointed. If you think that the thorough knowledge of the Bible will necessarily be a blessing, you're mistaken. To some, it's a curse. To others, it's powerless. It does not make them either holy or happy. To some, it is a burden. It depresses them instead of quickening them or lifting them up. There is no blessedness in hearing or knowing God's word apart from keeping it. The word is nothing if not kept, obeyed, done. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know. According to this saying of our Lord, all true knowledge of God's word depends upon there being first the will to do it. It is not this very lesson we're enforcing. God will refuse to unlock the real meaning and blessing of his word to any but those whose will is definitely set upon doing it. I must read my Bible with one purpose. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. They, that is God's commands, are meant to be done. It is only as we do them that their real meaning and blessing can be unfolded to us. It is only as we do them that we really can grow in the divine life. I seek to have this point absolutely and finally settled. I'm going to do whatever God says. That the awful self-delusion of hearing and not doing must be conquered. He puts it well, doesn't he? So, what has changed in your life, your reaction, your ministry in the body, and how you approach it from the last 8 or 9 weeks of Pastor Smith's teaching? Anybody want to share? Maybe something really struck you and you said, ah, I've got to do this or that, whatever. Somebody. I know I'm up here at the pulpit. I wanted to do this because I know some people on the sides were, if I'm over here, these people are having trouble. If I'm over here, these people might have trouble. You know, us older folks with our stiff necks. Oh, wait a minute. That's a bad term, isn't it? We don't want to be stiff-necked, but you understand what I'm saying. But pretend it's Sunday school class. I'm not preaching. This is Sunday school. This is interaction. So who can share something with us that you have put into practice from what you've learned the last 9 weeks? Taking more interest in other people. Good. Okay. Anybody else? All right. So does that mean we're all doing everything that Pastor Smith has taught before he started teaching it? I guess I question that. But you see, you get the point. There has to be application. There has to be something done with what we're learning. So this really applies to our... By the way, I'll share something personally with you. I had a chance this morning to speak to an individual, and I will mention her name because I don't think she'll mind. I was asking Lisa about the fellowship time over here in the library room. If you've been there, you've noticed that Lisa has kind of taken over the administration of that. And you've noticed, if you've been back there, how when it comes about 10:25 or 10:26, she's blinking the lights and chasing you out. Good for her. And I asked her, I said, was that an assigned thing that was, someone said, hey, pastor said, would you do that? No, she said, I saw him doing it, and I thought, I can do that. Anybody want to guess what Lisa's spiritual gift is? She's an administrator. She's a leader. She's an the word lead is in the way it's translated in Romans. In Corinthians, it's translated administration. I think of it as an organizer, someone who can organize an event and do it well. And that's exactly what Lisa has done. So I had a chance to encourage her with her spiritual gift. Now, it's very obvious, I think, how the Lord has gifted her. So we need to be thinking about how we're going to use these things in the body. Now, we've been over the four main passages that deal with God gifting his people for service. And you'll see those listed on the other side. But before we look at those individually, I want us to review the five common components in these four passages. There are five things that all four of these passages bring out. So let's make sure we remind ourselves of these. First of all, these gifts are given by the Spirit, by the Lord, the Spirit is mentioned particularly in some of the cases. But these, we're talking about spiritual gifts given by God himself. Why do I emphasize that? Because this is different than a natural ability. Okay? Someone may have a natural ability, let's say, I can think of some people that have this, a natural ability to sing. Is that a spiritual gift? Is it one of the spiritual gifts? No, it's not given as one of the spiritual gifts. Now, it may be a gift. I'm not doubting that, that God gives abilities and things as well, but it's not listed as a spiritual gift. So we need to, and we'll talk more about this later on, we need to be careful that we only identify as spiritual gifts those things that God identifies as spiritual gifts. Secondly, every believer has at least one spiritual gift. We're going to talk about each of these in the following section here. We'll show you the verses that say these things. So no one's off the hook here. Every one of us has at least one of these, and I would talk about the nine gifts I've got listed there in a little bit. Every one of us has at least one of those. Now, some may have more than one, but everybody has at least one. Thirdly, These gifts are exercised for the benefit of the body, the church, the church body, however you want to phrase that. Yes, these are not gifts that further my career or my whatever. These are gifts to be for the benefit of the body. Number four, these gifts are to be exercised with what? Well, yes, that's a part of it, but that's not the word that comes up in each of these passages quite as much. With love, yes. These gifts are to be exercised with love. And number five, these gifts properly used contribute to two things, according to Ephesians chapter 4, the what and the what of the body. That, all right, unity and building up or growth. Maturity might be a single word you can use there. So they contribute to the unity and the maturity of the body. Does everybody have a note sheet, by the way? Anybody missing a note sheet? Everybody's got one? Okay. I just want to make sure everybody's got one. All right. Now, these four passages listed there on your back of the sheet, these are the main passages that deal with gifts. And Pastor had been, to some degree at least, been through these. They have these five common components. So what we want to look at now, starting in Romans chapter 12, is to identify these. I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to see it for yourself, how these passages have these, all of them have these five common components within them. So Romans 12, I've listed it from verse 3 through verse 10. The gifts are actually listed in verses 6 and 7, but we'll expand the context of the passage a little bit. So let's look for verses in that passage that first of all tell us that these gifts are given by God. So what verses in Romans 12, 3 through 10 tell us these gifts are from God? Verse 3, we start there. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. So the grace given to me and the measure of faith God has assigned, if you go down to verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Who gives us grace? God does. And a part of that grace are these gifts that he's going to list in verses 6 and 7. So there we see that all of these, he lists seven of them here, are given by God. What about the fact that each believer has at least one gift? Well, I would point out to you the end of verse 3, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And verse 6, once again, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, and so on. So, every believer has at least one of these gifts. They're to be exercised for the benefit of the body. That's a pretty easy one, isn't it? What verse? We just read it. What verse? let us use them. Gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And this is all in the context of the body in this passage. So verse 6, what about the fact that they're to be exercised with love? Well, look what he says in verses 9 and 10. Right, as immediately after he mentions the gifts, he says, let love be genuine. Now, I know some of you may have a division in your Bible there, but that's probably unfortunate in this case. Some kind of a paragraph break or a heading or something, but that is the same context. Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo each other. So all in the context of the gifts, all this emphasis on love, not by accident. These gifts are to be exercised with love. And these gifts contribute to the unity and maturity of the body. Well, I would suggest several verses there for you. Verse 5, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts. There's the unity. We're one body. These gifts are given to advance the unity of that body. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. How about if we go on down to verses 16 through 18, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible, as far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Again, the context of the body. There's unity and the building up of the body. So that's the idea of this passage. Yes?
I don't know how you're supposed to be filling out these blanks.
With the verse numbers. I just put the verse numbers in. Yeah, I went right across Romans 12.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
This column is one of the five things you mentioned on the
other side. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 components. I'm sorry, I should have explained that. And I'm sorry that the page turned right there. I wasn't very good at getting this arranged, but... The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 correspond to the five components in those four passages. The five components? Give them across the top. Well, the first one is given by God. Number two is one gift. You want the verse numbers? You got the verse numbers. Okay. One gift for each.
The rose.
Yeah. At the top of those columns, number three is the body, benefit of the body. Number four is with love. And number five is unity and maturity. Sorry. I should have made headings there, I guess. But I didn't have room, so you could squeeze it in there somewhere. First Corinthians 12 through 14 is a pretty long passage, so we don't really have the time to let you read through all of that to find these verses. So I'll give these to you, and then I'll make you work in Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter. In 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, first of all, given by God, that's chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. There's a variety of activities, the same God who empowers them all and everyone to teach, to each given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it's all given by God. And verse 11 also. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Number two column. Everyone has at least one of these gifts. Well, verses 6 and 7, same verses basically. God empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So God gives to each one. They're for the benefit of the body. Well, verse 7 once again, for the common good. And verses 14 through 16, speaking of the body, and that one part can't just be by itself for, you know, for its own benefit. We all have to be together for the benefit of the body. To be exercised in love, number 4 column. Well, you've got chapter 13 right in the midst. Pastor Smith pointed this out. In the midst of all this discussion of gifts, all of a sudden we have this great passage on love, chapter 13. And then they contribute to the unity and the maturity of the body. Chapter 12, verses 18 through 20, that section where he talks about the body and we can't do without various parts of it. A body that was one big eyeball. One of my professors used to say, a body that's one big eyeball rolling down the street would be kind of funny, wouldn't it? That doesn't work real well. So we all have to be together in this. And verse 25, be no division in the body. The members have the same care for one another. And then in chapter 14, as far as maturity or building up, verse 4, he talks about prophecy builds up the church, the last part of that verse. And then verse 26, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for building up. Last part of verse 26. So that's 1 Corinthians. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's. I want you to see that we didn't just saying that these are common components of all these passages. I want you to see it for yourself. In Ephesians 4, and we're using. Verses, well, 2 through 16, a little extended passage, but it really all is on this subject. What verses would you find there, real quick, like that say these gifts are given by God or by the Spirit? I think they're fairly obvious. Verses 7 and 8, I would include both of those, and verse 11, he gave gifts. He gave the apostles, the prophets, and so on. How about each one has at least one spiritual gift? Well, I'd use verses 7 and 8 again. And verse 16, from the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. There's every part of the body, every joint, every ligament, every sinew, whatever. He talks about the joints have to all work. And if they're not working, the body is not working properly. Number 3, for the benefit of the body. Well, again, verse 16. And also verse 2, I would point to you, going back to verse 2. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's a benefit of the body. And finally, unity and maturity. Well, once again, verse 2, verse 16, And also verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That verse, as much as any, really summarizes the purpose of the gifts that God gives to the body. And we'll talk more about that verse in detail later. Now, I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm supposed to be done at 10:15, is that right? 10:15, okay. That's, wow, I got to get used to that. All right, look at 1 Peter. Because Peter does something a little different. And so let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. These gifts are given by God. But notice, let's see, we're verses 8 through 11, so this is a very short little passage. You can tell me the verses. Where do you find Peter saying they're given by God? Verse 10, yes. What else? There's another one very close to that. Verse 11, the end of verse 11 there, yes. All right. And each one has at least one gift. Verse 10. Okay. I would probably include verse 8 also, but that's all right. What about for the to be exercised for the benefit of the body? Well, actually, I'm going, let's see, I gave you through, no, I didn't. Benefit of the body, number 3. What verse would you use there? 10, yes, verse 10. Serve one another. What about exercise with love? Verse 8. What about contribute to the unity and maturity? Well, I'd use verses 8 and 9. Loving one another earnestly. Use hospitality without grumbling. Verse 11. Serves by the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. That's the purpose of the church as we mature and grow. Now, what does Peter do that's different, though? He doesn't really identify individual gifts like Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians do. But notice, what's his summary? He has two categories. He has two categories of gifts. What are they? Speaking and serving. Yes. He just tells us, all right, there's gifts. They're in one of these two categories, either speaking or serving. So now, that next chart on your sheet, we need to figure out which of these gifts are speaking and which are serving, or which are both. And by the way, now let me just say this about the chart there. I've listed 9 spiritual gifts. I'm not here to debate with you about if you think there are some other gifts that are present today. Of those gifts identified in these 4 passages, these are the 9 that I believe are actively given by God today to believers. I think I can make a case that other gifts that are listed, the special sign gifts, for example, we know the gift of apostle. I hope no one here thinks the gift of apostle is present today. If so, you better go across the street or somebody. because that is not, according to Scripture, that cannot be a gift for today. And so there's other gifts that we're told we're going to pass away. These nine, I think I can make a strong case that these nine are clearly gifts that God gives today. So if you want to debate that outside of class, I'd do that. But we're not going to get into that debate in this class. That's not going to serve any purpose for us. So we're going to stick with these nine, okay? So of these nine gifts, starting with just the order that they come in, and for instance, prophecy is mentioned in three of the passages, Romans, Corinthians, and Ephesians. All three of them mention that one. And again, we're not talking here about the book of Revelation. We're not talking about foretelling future events. We're talking about a proclamation of the truth. And that's the real meaning. I know there was a giving of you know, telling the future in apostolic days, but I don't believe that gift has continued. We're talking about those who proclaim truth. So, prophecy, is that a speaking or serving gift? Speaking, obviously. Now, you could make a case that in doing so, you're serving, and I understand that that's true. You could make that case, but primarily that is a speaking gift. What about service? Helping. Corinthians uses the word helping. I would put those together as the same thing. Is that a speaking or serving gift? Serving. It may include some speaking at times, but primarily that is a service gift, obviously. What about teaching or teachers? All three of them, again, give this gift. That is a what? Speaking, primarily. Again, speaking gift. Exhortation. Well, that's got to be speaking, certainly. But exhortation, the word exhortation includes the idea of admonishing and encouraging and a number of things included in exhortation. So you could make a case that that is also serving someone when you do that. But primarily, again, that's a speaking gift. One who contributes or gives. You better not say speaking. Because that's not something we better be speaking about. Look what I gave, you know. Now, that's a serving gift, certainly. What about the Romans uses, our translation uses the word leads. Corinthians uses administrating. As I mentioned, I look at that as organizational kind of gift. Is that a speaking or serving gift? Serving, I would put first, but there's probably speaking involved in that as well to some extent. Primarily serving with some speaking involved. What about mercy? The gift of mercy. Serving? No speaking involved in mercy? I would put both there. I think that probably transcends both of them. It, again, primarily serving, but there's times when it's mostly how you speak with someone as well. I shouldn't make this confession, but I have to. I've struggled with the gift of mercy for many years, I'll be honest with you. I've not been a very merciful person, and I admit it, and I have to confess it at times. But anyway, how about evangelist? Well, that's certainly speaking, isn't it? And again, that's one we haven't talked much about. We'll get to that one later. And then the one, and there's debate about this one, whether pastor, teacher is one gift or is that two different things, and I have my opinion. That's not what I'm worried about at this point. But that gift is what kind? Speaking and serving. Yes, definitely both. You read 1 Peter chapter 5, and the pastor better be serving as a shepherd. So that's really a combination of the two there in 1 Peter 4. So that is kind of a summary of the gifts. We've been over most of these in the last weeks, but I wanted to get it all together here for us to consider. And if you look at those questions at the bottom, just a couple of things. We've talked about Peter, what he does differently. He summarizes them in these two categories. He doesn't mention specific gifts, so that's how he summarizes them, is speaking and giving. How are the gifts in Ephesians 4:11 different from the other passages? I want you to think about, if you know Ephesians 4 well, what is different about Ephesians 4 and the other passages on gifts? They're all speaking. Talking about what? Well, the apostles are included, but notice he's talking about people. Verbal leadership are gifts to the church. And that's different than Corinthians or Ephesians or Peter or 1 Peter. So there's a distinct difference there in Ephesians 4. These gifts are individual people as verbal leaders of the body. So I wanted to go that far with those. Now, we'll pick up next time the three purposes of those gifts in Ephesians 4, the two ultimate objectives, how do we measure our spiritual maturity, according to Ephesians 4:13, and then can you think of a passage in the Scriptures, or maybe more than one, that speaks about childlike behavior as spoken of there in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. So that's where we'll pick up, Lord willing, next time. And I'm sorry, we are out of time. I'd like to see if you had any questions, but we'll start that way next time if you have questions or reactions. But let's practice our spiritual gifts this week and use them for the service of the body. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for the privilege of serving. Thank you for gifting people, and pray you would help us to be faithful stewards of the gifts you've given. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.